doing it like the Philistines. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just ask right now that you fill this house with faith, that you anoint me, O God, that I will give the words that you gave me, that they will be edifying, that they will bless, that they will, O God, encourage, that they will, O God, keep us, Lord Jesus, looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for the blessing. Lord, we thank you for accepting our worship. Lord, we thank you for your presence and anointing. We thank you for your covering and for your healing and for your deliverance, and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a praise. Now, despite what my title says, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, don't do it like the Philistines. You may be seated. You may be seated. The passage I read is really the end of the little story that lasted about 20 years in Israel. It was the time of the prophets Eli and Samuel. And the backstory to this last verse in 2 Samuel 6:10 was that Israel had 20 years earlier lost the Ark of the Covenant because of their fallen away state and that of Eli and his sons. God had allowed the Ark of the Covenant to be taken by the Philistines. But they only kept it 7 months. It was too hot for them to handle. Too much for them to handle. So they sent it back. But instead of the Ark going back to where it should have been, which was in the tabernacle, it was kept in the house of Abinadab. And after 20 years not being in the place where it should have been, and David becoming king, he decided he would go and get the ark. So he gathered 30,000 men of Israel and planned a great ceremony to bring the ark back to the city of David, to Jerusalem. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And David and the people had a great idea. They were going to have a great party. They were going to bring the ark all the way to Jerusalem. Imagine, it had stayed in Abinadab's house for 20 years instead of where it should have been, in the tabernacle, in the tent. So for 20 years, the ark was somewhere where it should not have been. But David had in his heart to build a house for God to place the ark. So his first step was to go and get it from Abinadab's house. So he got together all the soldiers, and he planned a great festival and a great procession to bring the ark to Jerusalem. Verse 3, and they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, not the state, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Now, this was great. They built a new cart. They built a new cart to bring this Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. They thought this was great. And they had the singers and the army and the worshipers. They put it all together. They did what they thought was the right way. But in essence, they were doing it like the Philistines, because this was not the way God had told them the ark should be brought or carried. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. Now, this may not be a long message. And God smote him there for his error, And there he died by the ark of God. You know, and at first blush, it seems kind of harsh. He thought he was helping God. He thought he didn't want the ark to fall. He thought he was doing a good thing. But until you really study this lesson and kind of understand some things about Uzzah and what had happened, that he would put forth his hand to touch something that he should not have. You see, the people taking the ark were the wrong people. And the way they were doing it was the wrong way. They were doing it like the Philistines, because that was the way the Philistines had brought the ark back to Israel, in a cart. But of course, the Philistines didn't know better. The Philistines had not the history and the teaching that Uzzah and his family ought to have had. And yet, David and Israel was doing it like the Philistines. You know what happens? Many times we try and do it like the Philistines. We think we have good motives. We've made a new cart. We got all the praise and worship. And we got everything together. But we're doing it like the Philistines. The Philistines had captured the ark 20 years before, actually. 20 years and 7 months. And they thought, this is great. We got the God of Israel. And at first they were really scared. They said, we better put this in a temple. So they put it in the temple of Dagon next to their god. And of course, in the morning, you know the story. They found Dagon face down before the Ark of the Covenant. And what was worse, thousands of them started to get sick and get hemorrhoids. Maybe that's not supposed to be spoken in a Sunday message, but thousands of them got sick and started to die. So they said, no, we can't keep it in this town. Let's send it to Gath. We don't want the God of Israel anywhere near about us. So they sent it to Gath. And the same thing happened. The same thing. Thousands of Philistines started to die and get sick. And the Gathites said, no, we got to send it to Ashkelon. And it started to go there. And they said, no, you're not bringing that here. No, you know what we better do? We better send it back to Israel. But the Philistines had no clue how they should deal with the Ark of the Covenant. So their diviners and their occult people, they said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll make a brand new cart. And we'll put the Ark on the cart. And we'll put two oxen and we'll let the oxen go. And if it goes like it's going to Israel, we'll know that this was the God of Israel doing this. And of course, you see, that's exactly what happened. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. Now therefore make a new cart, and take two milch kine, two cows, two oxen, on which there hath not come no yoke. And tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord, and lay upon it the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which he returned him, for a trespass offering. Even the Philistines knew they had done wrong. They said, we better send a trespass offering with the cart when we go. And they put and they sent it away that it may go. And they let the cart, and they were watching which way it went. And of course, you know the story. The cart didn't turn left or right. It was headed straight for Israel. It headed straight in the direction of home. And it came first to this city called Beth Shemesh, which in Hebrew is the house of the sun. And at first, the people were really happy. Look, God has returned the Ark of the Covenant. And it was the time of the wheat harvest. And any of you know who have been studying, teaching, you know that the beginning of the wheat harvest is Pentecost. So it was at Pentecost that the Ark of the Covenant returned home to Israel. But of course, the Philistines didn't know how the Ark was supposed to be moved. And of course, they didn't even have the people. So they just sent it on a new cart. So the people of Beth Shemesh were so happy. They were so joyful. And they were so happy. And they started to have an offering and a breakout praise dance and a worship service. But they made one mistake. They went and looked into the ark. You see, God had told them, don't do it like the Philistines. They had been told way back in the time of Moses, how the ark, the presence of God, should be handled. You can't handle the presence of God any old how. In Exodus 25, verse 14, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark. God had told Moses, when you create the ark, you got to put some rings in there. You got to put some poles in there. Why? So that nobody can touch it. Nobody can touch it. That the ark may be borne by them. The staves shall be in the verse 15. Exodus 25, for the staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. The staves were never supposed to be removed so that nobody ever had to touch the ark. Numbers 4:15, the ark was supposed to be moved only by certain people. In Numbers 4:15, and when Aaron and his sons made an end of covering the sanctuary, when they were pulling up camp, they took that curtain and they went backwards. They didn't even look. And they covered the ark. Because the presence of God was so holy, so pure, that without a blood sacrifice, you could not even look at the ark. All the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is set forward, after that, the sons of Kohath, of the Levites, only one subclan was actually allowed to carry the ark. The sons of Kohath alone were chosen to bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. See, God had told Israel, you cannot treat my presence any old how. My presence is holy. And if you treat it a certain way, you're going to die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. So way back in Moses' time, God had made it plain why and how the ark should be moved. Now, when we come back to the time of David moving the ark and Uzzah, now we begin to start to understand that Uzzah should have known better. But you know why Uzzah did this? Because he was the son of Abinadab. The ark had been in his living room for 20 years. And nothing had happened. You know what had happened? He'd got so familiar with the ark. Oh, it's just a gold-covered box. He thought he could touch it. It's been in my house all this time. I haven't seen anyone die. Everything's going to be okay. You know, there's a saying that familiarity breeds contempt. But the thing is, Uzzah should have known. If he wasn't old enough, he should have heard the stories 20 years ago, what happened to the people of Beth Shemesh. 1 Samuel 6:19. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh, 1 Samuel 6:19, because they had looked into the ark. They hadn't even touched it. Even he smote the people, 50,000 and 70, more than 50,000 men in Beth Shemesh died because they mistreated the presence of God. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? They realize we are not worthy. We don't want the ark here because more of us are gonna die. So they sent the ark away even further to Kiriath Jamin, and then it went into Abinadab's house. Now here's the thing: Uzzah knew all of this. He had known that God had allowed thousands of people to die. Nobody wanted the ark who wasn't supposed to have it. You get it? Because if you had possession of the ark and you were not anointed, if you were not consecrated, if you were not the person supposed to be messing with it, you were going to die. But because of God's mercy and because it had been in his living room 20 years, he became so familiar that he lost respect. Lost respect for the presence of the ark. See, he had known that you weren't supposed to treat the ark like that. It wasn't as if he hadn't known and heard the stories of what happened to the Philistines. He had known that the only reason it was at his house was because God had killed all the men of Beth Shemesh for just looking at it uncovered. And here he was, because it had been in his presence, because we come to church 20 years, because we're so used to it being in our living room, we lose a fear and a reverence for God's presence. Because of God's mercy, because he hasn't killed us yet, we become familiar and we think, it's okay, it's just another Sunday service. It's okay. I don't have to do anything special. I don't have to really pray. I'm just going to come and let the preacher preach to me. Let the word wash me. And that's great. And that's good. But Uzzah should have known better. He knew the reason why it was his house was because some people did not treat the ark, the presence of God, with respect. He knew that happened. And yet he dared touch the presence of God. He was not a Levite. He was not of the sons of Kohath. He wasn't even an Israelite. So you know what happens? David becomes afraid. If you read the story, for 20 years, nobody had died and everybody had become comfortable. The lesson for today is the same. Don't get too comfortable in the presence of God. You know, we can sing the same songs and we just take it for granted. It's only a Sunday. But if you were the high priest on the Day of Atonement, you went to that place shaking. Because if you weren't right with God, you weren't coming out. Nobody else could come and get you either. They had to tie a rope around. You had to have a fear and a reverence for the holiness and the presence of God. See, sometimes we lose that. We start doing it like the Philistines. They thought the ark could be moved any old how. We can put it on a cart and we can just have some oxen pull it. But you know what God purposely designed it to be? That the people lift his presence up. Did you come here today to lift God's presence up? Did you come here today to just have some cart pull God's presence in front of you? The easy way out. Doing it like the Philistines. That's what got Israel in trouble, because they followed what the Philistines did. Of course, they didn't know what they were doing. They did not have the oracles of God. They had no history. They were doing the best they could. But Israel knew better. God had specifically told them, you can't touch this. My presence has to be lifted up. You have to put it on your shoulder. You have to carry it with you. You can't just have it in your living room and let it stay for 20 years and then expect you can just walk up and touch it. Doesn't work that way. Sometimes our services just become a common thing. Uzzah had become used to just seeing this gold-covered box. Oh, that's just the Ark of the Covenant. That's no big deal. That's been in my house for 20 years. I know it very well. I walk by it every day. I can just reach out and touch it anytime I wish. Doing it like the Philistines. And yet he hadn't learned from the stories of how many thousands of Philistines. They only kept that thing for 7 months. They could not handle it. You see, the mistake was Israel let it stay in Abinadab's house for 20 years instead of putting it back where it should have been. So David became afraid when this happened and he said, uh-oh. I better have a time out here. Let's have a time out. And so the ark was put in the house of Obed-Edom. Now this has got some strange things about this turn of events, because Obed-Edom, if you read the story, was a Gittite. Gittite means he was from Gath. So it went back into the house of a Philistine, doing it like the Philistine. Maybe he was the closest house. The Bible doesn't say why they put it in-house. But he must have learned from Abinadab, because in studying for this, what I understood was he treated the ark with respect. He wouldn't let nobody go near it. He burned incense. He had sacrifices. And you know what? God said, you know, I'm going to bless him. When we do the thing the right way, when we have reverence for the presence of God, there is a blessing that comes with that. So David gets a message. Guess what? Obed-Edom's house is getting blessed. But wait a minute. He's not even an Israelite. You know what? But he was doing something that Abinadab and Israel had not done. He was treating the Ark of the Covenant with respect. If you study what the Hebrew sages, they said that he did all the sacrifices and things. Even though he was not an Israelite, he had respect and reverence for the presence of the Ark. Sometimes I think we treat God just like that. We're doing it like the Philistines. We say we're doing it with the right heart, but we're not doing it according to His word. Enter His gates with, and His house with, sometimes, and I'm guilty of it. What they were supposed to do was lift up the presence of the ark. They weren't to let some cows pull God's presence. What an insult. Sometimes we want God to pull some cows to pull His presence for us so we can just take it easy and just get the blessing. The priests were supposed to lift up the ark of God. They were not to let some animal carry God's presence. So David, finally, he goes back to Jerusalem after 3 months, and he says, we got to really think this through. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2, then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. It's for us, the church, the true kingdom of God. We need to be lifting up His name. We can't let some false religions and some other so-called religions be trying to carry the ark. We are the ones who were designed, dedicated, chosen to be lifting up the name of Jesus instead of doing it like the Philistines. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Is it just in your living room? Or do you carry it out here tomorrow? Does it go with you? Do you pick up the name of Jesus? Do you walk with it every day, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? Are you carrying the ark? Are you carrying the presence of God with you? Or have you left it in Sunday service and come here every Sunday for 20 years and get too familiar with it and think, okay, when it needs to move, I'll let someone else drag it on a cart. David went back to the scriptures and he said, you know what? 1 Chronicles 15:2, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. In the Old Testament, the Levites were the priests. You know who in the New Testament who the priests are? We are. The Bible says we are kings and priests. You know what that means? We're the ones supposed to be lifting up the ark, the presence of God. We are the ones supposed to be carrying it with us. We can't be doing it like the Philistines, wanting someone else on a cart to just carry everything for us. 1 Chronicles 15:2. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen. Jesus went about starting his ministry and he started to choose disciples. He said, come follow me. Put down your nets and I will make you fishers of men. But most of us don't want to pick up the ark. We want someone else to do it. We don't want that job of being fishers of men. We just want to come in when things look bad and try and touch it. Set it right. Oh, I don't like what's going on in church. I'm going to set it right. Be careful. Be careful. You didn't want to carry it, but now you want to set it right. That's what Uzzah was doing. David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord God chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We can't be Sunday Christians only. See, Uzzah saw it once a week or whenever he went into his living room. There's that gold box. I've heard all kinds of myths about that. And he had no respect for what that really represented. Do you have respect for what's inside of you? We are supposed, let me say it again. I'm going to say this many times. That we are the ones designated to lift up the presence of God. 1 Chronicles 15:15, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders. Sometimes it's hard to carry the work of God on your shoulders, but that's what God has called us to do. We can't let some oxen do it for us. So next week, we're starting here at 9:30. Don't let some oxen be doing your worship. Don't let some other cows be trying to worship. God says you are the chosen ones. You need to be the ones lifting up His name. You need to be here in person. The children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. So David decided, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a reset. We're going to do this properly this time. Verse 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over the thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom, and they did it with joy. You know, someone said that they probably sacrificed thousands of animals because they went every time they went six steps, they stopped and had a sacrifice. They had a praise service. I don't know how far it is. Someone measured it, but it was a few miles from Obed-Edom's house to Jerusalem. And if they stopped every 6 feet and had a service, it probably took them a while. But David said, we're not making any mistakes this time. We are going to carry the presence of God the way he deserves to be worshipped, the way he deserves to be looked after. We are going to be the ones that carry and lift up his presence. Hallelujah. The Philistines didn't know how to do it. We made the mistake of doing it like the Philistines. We got to cut that out. We are the children of God. We are the Levites of the New Testament. We are the kings and priests. We are the chosen of God. And we are the ones have got to lift his name up. Amen. You can stand. I'm going to preach part two now. No, I'm not. That's right. Doing it like the Philistines will get you in trouble. Doing it like the Philistines will get you nowhere. We have to do it like the Word of God says. We got to do it with some joy. You know, the Bible said that we should be joy because we've been counted worthy. Paul said, counted worthy to suffer. Can you say that? Can you be joyful because God has chosen you? What an honor to be of the family of Kohath. The only ones that were allowed to even come and pick up the ark. Jesus told his disciples, don't rejoice because you can cast out demons. Don't rejoice because you can heal somebody. But rather rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We should rejoice that it is an honor that we get to lift up the name of Jesus. We get to lift up the ark, so to speak. We get to carry that name wherever we go. Amen. Don't be doing it like the Philistines. Amen. On the cheap. They didn't know better. God cut them a little bit of slack. Thousands of them did die and thousands of them did get sick. But once they sent it back, God's staved the curse and they started to get healed because they didn't know better. But Israel knew better. You and me know better. We will have no excuse when we stand before the King of Kings to say, I was doing it like the Philistines. No, that won't work. We've been to too many Sunday schools. We've heard too many preachings. We've read too many words to be doing it like the Philistines. We got to do it like the Word of God says. Lift up the name. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all unto me. When we start to lift him up in the proper way, when we carry his presence with us, when we declare his name, then we can do it with joy. It said, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over the thousands and to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom. Now, when it got near Jerusalem, you know what? And it looked like it was going to make it, David really got happy. He took off his gown. You know what he started to do? We sing the song. David danced. He was so happy that finally the Ark of the Covenant was coming to the tabernacle that David had erected. That first one by Moses had rotted away. And David built a new tabernacle. He wasn't allowed to build the temple, but he built a new tabernacle. Now, here's the amazing thing. You go to Acts chapter 15, and they're having the first council, church council. And they're debating about the Gentiles and what they should preach. And you know what it says? That when he returns, he's going to raise up the tabernacle of David. Now, think about it. Who is he? Jesus. Why are they raising up the tabernacle there? Because he's coming to Jerusalem. How is he going to be coming to Jerusalem? Because we have been bearing up his name. Do you get it? Think about it. Meditate upon it tomorrow, what I just said. It may hit you in the midnight hour. We got to stop doing it like the Philistines and do it like God has told us to do. We have to have a reverence for his presence. When we do that, we'll be like the house of Obed-Edom, who, because he reverenced the presence of God, the Bible says God blessed him. But not just him, everything around him was blessed. The blessing just couldn't be contained. His family, his associates, anyone who came near to Obed-Edom got blessed. When you reverence the presence of God, when you exalt his name, he that is abased shall be what? Let's not do it like the Philistines. But let's do it like God has commanded us to, because we are the chosen. We are kings and priests. And we are supposed to bear the Ark of the Covenant. The very presence of God is supposed to be in us. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? And if any man defile his temple, him will he destroy. God was not that harsh with Uzzah. He knew better. But he had lost all respect for the presence of God. Let's not do it like the Philistines. I'm closing this service. This altar is open. And I want you to know, as we go forward into the next 6 months of this year, we're not going to do it like the Philistines. We want to follow God's word and be obedient to his will and have his presence and the Ark of the Covenant lifted up every service we have. And not only every service, but everywhere we go. Because we are the carriers of his presence today. We need to rebuild the tabernacle of David wherever we go. Hallelujah. And we need to enter into his courts with praise. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over the thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. With joy shall he draw water from the wells of salvation. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be sad. We need to be like David, because if we have the presence of God and we are lifting him up, great things are about to happen. The blessing of God is going to come upon our house, upon our friends, upon our family, upon our associates. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray, and let's think about this. Tomorrow when you wake up, say, I am the Levite. I am going to lift up the Ark of the Covenant. I'm not doing it like the Philistines. Father, we just thank you today for your anointing and for your presence, for your love and for your grace. Lord, we pledge today we're not going to do it like the Philistines, but we are going to carry you upon our shoulders as you have commanded. We're going to lift up your name. We're going to exalt you, Lord. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all to me. Lord, we ask you right now to help us in humility, Lord God, to be your servants, to be your carrier, to be your image. Hallelujah. Renew us, revive us, restore us. Hallelujah. Give us of your blessings today. Let us be like as the house of Obed-Edom. Let your presence and your covering surround us. Oh God, go before us. Go behind us. Hallelujah. Lord, we just declare right now victory and blessing in your great name. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's give God some praise in here. Let's open our mouth and make a pledge that we are going to be like the Kohaths. We're going to lift up the presence of God. We're going to declare his righteousness. And I'm going to come down, I'm going to pray. And if wherever you are at this time, if you could just raise your hands in surrender, lift up his name in prayer right now.